Because they lack the word. It's just like they are about to go into a dark place. And then they feel a movement, like a lot of deliverance ministry, any sound is a demon. In the early days of my ministry, I slept and stayed together in the same room with one deliverance minister. And at night, when we were sleeping, there was a sound on the ceiling. Deliverance minister woke up and said, "That usually happens." I said, "What is that?" "Oh, that's one of those demons." I listened carefully. And I said, "I think that demon's name is R.A.T. So not every sound that comes is the devil. So we realized that there was this, if you're about to enter this dark place and there's this sound. And then they start using the name of Jesus, this young Christian. Says, "Jesus! Jesus! Jesus!" And it didn't work. They're still frightened. And they wonder why that name never helped them. Because they use it in fear. Maybe they should send their spiritual vocal cords for training. Instead of singing that song, they got a wrong song inside. The Bible says that we have to have a right song. Their song is, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." Tune it a bit. Put it lower. Tune it, adjust, until you go, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." Adjust it a bit more. Didn't the word says in Colossians 3 verse 16, "Let the word dwell richly in you, so that," and that psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs flow out of your life. A lot of Christians have the wrong note in their life. And the name of Jesus doesn't carry much authority because God exalts His word above His name. And if we want to release the full power of that name, we must release the full power of His word. So chapter 2 of Lamentations is a revelation that God is a God of the word, whether in healing, whether in destruction, whether in anger, whether in any situation we are in, that He will always honor His word if we will bring it to Him and call upon that word with all our hearts and trust our lives upon that word. God will bring it to pass. Chapter 3, the God of love. And it is only as we see God's love that we can see God is good. In verse 25 to 27, chapter 3 of Lamentations, "The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth." Say, he recognize that the Lord is good. Then look at verse 31 and 32. "For the Lord will not cast off forever, though He causes grief. Yet He will show compassion according to the multitude of His mercies. For He does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men." My friends, we all know that we must recognize and have the revelation that He is righteous. We must have the revelation that He is the God of the Word. Of the Word. It's so powerful. Well, I just need one more verse to enhance the power of the Word. In Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 talks about Jesus and says, Jesus, in verse 3, Hebrews 1 verse 3, Jesus who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power. Now that's a strange expression. Normally we will call it the power of His word. But He says by the word of His power, and that tells us something about the word. That every drop of that word came from His power. And not the power from the word. But the word is an expression of the power. If I say that it is the oil of the Spirit, it tells you that the oil is derived from the Spirit. But if I say it's the Spirit of the oil, then you know, hey, this is the one that controls the entire thing. I'm just using expressions, right? There's no such thing, Spirit of the oil. Well, we are doing anointing, right? This is only symbol, alright? But symbols can have an impartation in its quality. So, symbols can, just like Acts 19, handkerchiefs or natural objects can contain the anointing to a certain measure of time. You can test it in a sense if you want to in your spiritual experimentation. Take cloth, take oil, anything. And during an entire fast, you pray away. And you see that oil seems to take a greater anointing than when you just go and buy the oil and just bring it for anointing. See, it is a symbol, but it is also a container. It contains the anointing for some time. So in the same way, when God says about His word that it is the word of His power, that word is the very expression, 100% of power. When you say the word contains the power, it can mean that there are certain parts that the container is there, but they're here and here, the power is here, here and here. But when you say the power of His word or the word of His power, you're saying every drop of that word has power. So then you see in chapter 3, the love, the God of love. And He expresses His love in verse 32. Though He causes grief, yet He will show compassion. He says that because of His love, deep in His heart, because of His love, the Lord will not completely wipe out, even in His punishment. He will never. Do you notice that in every judgment of God, there is always a remnant? In the flood of Noah, there is Noah and his family. Even when he was talking to Moses and he says, I will destroy these people, but he says, I will make a nation from you. There is always that quality of His love still there. That love in His heart prevents Him from going all the way in destruction. Because His heartbeat, and it is a central being of God. Which is why it's placed in chapter 3. It's a central being of God. I want to show a little bit of God's love. Let's look quickly to the book of Judges. And see the patience and the love of God. demonstrated. In chapter 2 of Judges, talks about the Israelites. It says in verse 11, "Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers." Always you see the same pattern. That people break His covenant, then do God forsake them, then only the destruction come. "Who brought them out of the land of Egypt, they follow other gods." Verse 13, "They forsook the Lord and served Baal and the Ashtaroths." Then verse 14, "The anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, so He delivered them into the hands of plunderers." In other words, He just withdraw from them and they became devoured. Just like He says in Deuteronomy 31. Now in chapter 2, when they were suffering, in verse 15, "They were greatly distressed and the Lord raised up judges." Then in chapter 3, verse 7, "So the children of Israel did evil again this time in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord and they went back again. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and He sold them into the hand of Cusham Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia." Then verse 9, "The children of Israel cry." They cry. When they cry, the Lord had mercy and he raised up another judge. And you see the story repeated again, again. They keep forgetting God, again they keep forgetting God. And you think, would God ever forget them? Never. Once they came very close in chapter 10 of Judges. In chapter 10 of the book of Judges, when they were in despair and they cried to God, in verse 10, after countless times, again in chapter 10, verse 10, "The children of Israel cried out to the Lord, saying, 'We have sinned against You because we have both forsaken our God and served the Baals.'" And this time the Lord said different things. He says, "Did I not deliver you from the Egyptians, from the Amorites, from the people of Ammon, from the Philistines, and also the Sidonians and the Amalekites and the Maonites oppress you, and you cried out to Me and I deliver you from their hand? Yet you have forsaken Me and served other gods. Therefore," look at verse 13, "therefore I will deliver you no more." That is chapter 1, chapter 2 of Lamentation. Chapter 3 is where His heart of love is still there. And when He said that, do you know the Israelites didn't give up? They came, and in verse 14, when the Lord said, "Go and cry out to the gods which You have chosen and let them deliver you in your time of distress." Then verse 15, "The children of Israel said, 'We have sinned. Do to us whatever seems best to You. Only deliver us this day, we pray.' So they put away the foreign gods from among them and served the Lord." Then look at verse 16. An interesting thing. Even though He said, "I will deliver you no more." But look at His love. His soul could no longer endure the misery of Israel. That's powerful. His word says, "I will deliver you no more." But His heartbeat is still there. That's the revelation of chapter 3. And anyone who gets this revelation will be like a David in his time. Remember when David failed God? And God says, "Because you number the Israelites, of which you should not have number, I give you three choices. And the first two is being pursued by the enemies. The first two are things that are like being chased by the enemies. And then, you know what David's answer? "Lord, I find it hard to choose. But I'd rather it come from Your hands." And this is His exact statement in the book of First Chronicles